it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. I mentioned last week we'd be hearing shortly from Jennifer Grimway, the CEO of the Australian Blindness Forum. I didn't know a lot about the Australian Blindness Forum, so this was a fascinating interview from my point of view. The Australian Blindness Forum was established originally to facilitate Australia's membership of the World Blind Union. Jennifer joins me now. Jennifer, welcome to New Horizons.
Thanks, Vaughan. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start by telling us about yourself?
So I am the Executive Officer of the Australian Blindness Forum, and I've been in this position for nearly 2 years, starting in July 2015. Before that, I had a long career in the government, mainly working at the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. So I have a real interest in consumer issues from that experience. I got out of government and saw a position at ABF and thought that might be where I could use the skills that I'd acquired. The sector was quite new to me in the beginning.
What is the ABF?
So ABF is another not-for-profit. It's the peak body that represents the whole sector for the benefit of people who are blind or vision impaired. So we have 16 members at the moment, that can change year to year, who are organisations across the whole sector. So BCA is certainly one of our big members. But we also have many of the main service providers in the sector, and we also have some for-profit members who are more in the technology space. So we try to have a good representation across the whole sector so that we can represent the whole sector as a united front to government and to other organisations such as business. We also have a couple of members that are in the education space as well. And so we have our core topics, and I think most of the time we're all on the same page.
What are some of the things that an organisation such as yours would focus on a day-to-day basis?
Our main topics really can come from what our members are interested in, what their real battles are at the time. But in the time that I have been in this position, they're pretty consistent. So it's the NDIS, of course, aged care, education, employment and technology. Out of those sort of five key topics, there are so many different, consultations that pop up, a lot of different representation to government on many different aspects within that. So at the moment, I can give you an example. I'm working on audio description. That's something that's an ongoing topic for the sector. I'm working on banking for people who are blind or vision impaired. NDIS always has something going on. We have an ongoing conversation with them about accessibility for people who are blind or vision impaired, as well as the specialist environment that NDIS, we need to educate NDIS about. Aged care, we always are having a conversation with them about something. At the moment, it might be the MAC portal. We also focus on library services for people who are blind or vision impaired. I've got a group going that we're talking to the National Library about library services. I'm also working with the National Disability Services and Vision 2020 on a survey and a report about the sector. And I've got a submission that I must write very soon, Vaughan, about accessible public transport and the whole of journey guide that the government's currently got on consultation. So you can see it's very broad ranging, but it really comes back to those key topics that we are constantly fighting for in this sector. So I really have to make sure that I'm representing our members. They have many opportunities to talk to me. I need to represent their interests. We have a constitution and we have values and objectives. And that's all about, exchanging information for members, organising, say, our member forums twice a year, supporting the ABF board. So I get direction from the board. But I'm very interested in consumer issues. And with BCA being such a strong member and having two members of on our the ABF board, so two BCA members are on the ABF board, we get a lot of feedback about consumer issues, and I think ABF's working well with BCA in trying to represent the consumers in the whole of sector work that we do. And it's always good to hear the BCA voice, because we have a lot of service providers and other organisations, and we always need to balance that with BCA. But at the same time, I have to say, I very rarely have I ever come across a situation where the whole sector doesn't agree pretty much on the path that we're taking. We might have nuanced arguments, but most of the time we're always on the same page.
So I suppose it's fair to say, isn't it, that you work from a big picture perspective rather than an individual advocacy level?
Yes, that's true. And that's something that I have to keep in mind. Every now and then I might be approached by someone who comes across ABF and would like some sort of individual advocacy, but that's not what we do, and that's not what we can do. It's really about representing our members and the whole sector, and we certainly leave it up to our members if they have that role in their organisations to do that individual advocacy.
Most people will be aware of the significant issues posed by the Commonwealth Bank's Albert Terminal. I realise a lot of this comes under confidentiality, but is there anything you can say at this point as to the developments in that area?
Well, look, yes, that is a big issue, and like a lot of the issues that I've come across in my time here, these issues are ongoing, and technology is changing all the time, but it's creating more and more problems or challenges for the sector. So in relation to banking, I've been trying to talk to the banking industry since I started, and I know all my predecessors have done it too. It's been a very slow process, but we have had some headway where we've had the Australian Bankers Association actually came and spoke to us very recently at the ABF Summit that was held in Melbourne in April. And I felt that was a really great step forward. They had actually put out some guiding principles on a confidential basis prior to that for consultation. And I think it's fair to say that almost all of us in the sector were not happy with those guiding principles. They were way too vague, and we couldn't see that they would encourage the banking sector to make their services accessible. So the ABA certainly took on board our comments. They came and spoke to us, and that was a productive and very frank discussion. And we understand from here there will be ongoing consultation with the sector, and that includes ABF, but also I know our members will be involved, some of them, to make sure that we can try to continue that conversation with banks led by the Australian Bankers Association. And we hope that we will get much more of a result through this process than anything we've had before.
I'm wondering if you could go into some detail perhaps about the difference between, say, for example, guiding principles, guidelines and policies.
Guiding principles to us just in general really just provide overarching statements that this would be good or that would be nice. And in our experience in various formats, actually forums, guiding principles really don't have any teeth. So we would want, we've had in the past in banking, there were some very detailed, say, standards or a policy that were, while they weren't entirely enforceable by the ABA, they seemed to be very strongly worded. They gave the banks a very direct message that this needs to happen in order for them to be compliant with the Disability Discrimination Act. So we would be really leaning towards that sort of a document rather than anything like a guiding principle, which really is just a guide, and I can't see how anyone would feel compelled to comply with it.
Mm. I guess that's one of the big concerns about many things in the blindness sector. And one of those things, of course, is audio description. There's been some word on the street over the last month or so from the government and from other organisations about some movement with regard to audio description on Australian television.
Well, yes, we hope that's what the ultimate result will be born. But yes, look, there is some movement, and the sector has done a lot of work in relation to audio description before my time, and has been involved in the trials on the ABC, both free-to-air and on iView, in relation to audio description, and have been relentless, and I know BCA has been involved in that as a leader. So, you know, this has been going on for a long time, but just recently, again, at the ABS summit in April, we were lucky enough to have Minister Fifield come along and talk to us. He announced that the government had considered the latest report on the latest trial that was held last year, and they'd announced that they were going to set up an audio description working group. And that working group would be, well, the terms of reference really are to look at what options there are to provide audio description on Australian television and what are the impediments, and trying to bring together industry and consumer stakeholders. So that that working group is hopefully will convene soon. We are working together as a sector. We've already set up our own informal group where we're constantly discussing this. And we're making sure that we all are aware of what the other is doing, and hopefully we will have meetings with the government on this and the other stakeholders in the sector, and really be able to influence the outcome of audio description in Australia. So we hope there will be a result out of this. And as I said, the sector's worked so hard for so long that it really is time for something to happen.
I'm wondering whether it's a little bit too little too late, given the fact that they've already had two trials of audio description on our public broadcaster, the ABC, one in 2012 for 13 weeks on free-to-air television, and the other one in 2015-16 on iView. And they're only now setting up an audio description working group. How do they justify that?
We were hoping that the announcement would be much bigger than that, than just the setup of a working group. I think we hope that the government would be responding to the latest trial and would be actually making an announcement as to what they were going to do. And ultimately, we would want, you know, a mandated minimum target of audio description on free-to-air networks in Australia. So I agree with you. I think that it's probably extending this constant consultation, which we see in other aspects of the blindness sector. It meant that the issue was still live, but I think that it was frustrating.
I can hear members of the public beating down my door right now, and the question that they're asking is, how can they get involved and what can they do to further this process and make it happen?
Well, look, I think anyone could continue to lobby, and I'm sure people have done this in the past, but lobby their local members to continue to support any work that they might see coming out of the blindness sector, in particular in Blind Citizens Australia, when you have lots of consumers in your membership. But continue to lobby the government and tell your local member how important this is, and that this is a basic right. And it's been going on the absence of it has been going on for so long. We're the only one of the few English-speaking countries that doesn't have it. We're way behind everybody else, and I think that if consumers can really speak up and talk about their story and their journey and how they experience life without audio description, that's probably the most powerful thing to do.
I've said it before on this program and I'll say it again, and that is Australia ought to be feeling extremely embarrassed at the fact that even New Zealand has audio description and Australia does not. Jennifer, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Oh, thank you, Vaughan. It's a pleasure.
If you'd like to donate to Blind Citizens Australia, get in touch with the head office or have a look at the website to find out how you can do that. The contact number for BCA is 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. You can email them, bca@bca.org.au. That's bca@bca.org.au. I'm Vaughan Benison. Thanks for your company this week. I'll be back next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.